Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Joshua and chapter 1. I'm going to spend the next three Sunday mornings, Lord willing, in the book of Joshua. Preparation services, sermons, messages, hope from the Word of God, hopefully from heaven, for the fall harvest and what is before us and the great work that we are called of God to do. I'm excited this morning about what God is doing. Had a great week of visitation all the way around in every direction that way. And people are hungry for the truth. We got the truth. It's up to us to share the truth. What a beautiful day, huh? This Lord's Day? Man, it is beautiful weather in the UP. Here we are breathing God's good air. God is good to us. We that are born again, we have so much to be thankful for. We're members of the family of God. And the truth is, when God looks down from heaven, if you're born again, he sees you through the prism of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So he looks down, he sees Tim Rader. He sees God the Son, Jesus Christ. He sees me through the prism of what happened at Calvary. And he sees me as already righteous. Man, that's amazing, because I am not righteous in and of myself. But because I've been born again, this is good Bible doctrine, because I have been born again, he sees me through the righteousness of his son, Jesus. We've been studying Corinthians in Sunday school in the auditorium class. And even the church of Corinth, with all of its problems, and they were sinners saved by grace, Paul the apostle addresses them as saints. That's amazing, isn't it? Like they're already there. Saint means holy one. Truthfully, you're a saint already if you're born again. You're not holy yet, except in Jesus Christ, but you're a saint already. Your pastor is a saint. In fact, let's start this morning out by doing this. You know that, you know, good morning, Mr. Camp Director, sir. How about you help me, you make me feel good, and you say at the count of three, I want you to say, good morning, St. Timothy. Would you do that? Ready? One? No, I want you to do that. You got to do that. Ready? It's good morning, St. Timothy, all together, one big mighty voice. One, two, three.
Good morning.
Pretty weak. Let's try this one more time. Some of you might know where I'm going. Let's try this one more time. I want it from the sole of your feet. Ready? One, two, three.
Good morning, St. Timothy.
Good morning, you sinners. And God has called me to preach. Isn't that amazing? Joshua chapter 1, 24 chapters of courage and conquest. God had given a mandate to Moses to inherit the land of Canaan. Moses has now gone to heaven, and he's passed that mandate, that commission, onto the military man, Joshua. And Joshua is to lead 2.4 million, 2.5 million, however it worked out at that time, we don't know the exact number, Hebrews across the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan and conquer those city-states, those walled fortress cities, separate nations, all with a separate king, and he's to take them one by one by one. He's approaching from the south, so he's going to go over mountain range after mountain range and fight city after city. With each mountain range, you know, the resistance was going to get heavier. So this was a miraculous thing that God was calling the Hebrews to do. And they had great faith and they had great courage and they obeyed. As a people of God, here's my message this morning. It isn't exactly the title, but this is what I'm asking you to do in relation to the weeks ahead. Come out of the fog and follow God.
Amen.
This is not a nebulous life that we are called of God to live. It isn't a fuzzy, I don't know if I'm in the will of God, a fuzzy, I don't know for sure that I am saved. That is not the calling of God upon our lives. There needs to be a time of birth, actual birth, where we're born into the family of God. Jesus called it born again, and then an actual life that is lived for God. It's not a fuzzy, foggy, in one day, out the next, bump into this wall, bump off of that wall. It's not spinning our wheels. It's not groping through life like a blind man, a life filled with missteps and mistakes, great mistakes. Man, that's not what God has called us to do. You say, but preacher, that's kind of my life. That's kind of what you just described. It's kind of like where I am. That brings us to the book of Joshua. Boy, I am praying that God will prepare you, prepare me, and prepare this church for a great soul harvest this fall. We don't know how much time we have. There's much that needs to be done. There are many that need to be reached. Now, I like the story of the Hebrews, of Israel, because they're kind of the underdogs. They're kind of under the radar. They're wandering around in the wilderness. They're the wanderers. In fact, the very word Hebrew means wanderer. They're a tribal people, basically unknown, but that's about to change. Because this people, the seed of Abraham, is singularly blessed, chosen, delivered, and sustained by God. Much like the church of Jesus Christ. And it might be that we're kind of unknown. It might be that not a lot of people know what's going on at the ministry here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I'm telling you, if we'll just follow God like Joshua did and the Hebrews did, that's about to change. The walled cities are about to fall. The Jerichos are about to crumble. As a matter of fact, the only time they lost the city of Ai is when they got their eyes off God and started doing their own thing instead of following God. So here's the truth. You and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, and this isn't pie in the sky religion. I'm telling you exactly like it is. We are invincible when we are in the center of God's will for our lives. When we're willing to do exactly what God has called us to do, everything is going to be just right. There'll be losses. There'll be hard times. There'll be mountain ranges and fortress cities and giants in the land. But the truth is, we come out on the victory side if we just have just a little bit of faith. So here they are. They're in the wilderness. Whole generation has died. Everybody from 20 years of age on up, they're gone. They've buried them in the wilderness. Now it's the next generation, and Joshua is being raised up as the leader. They've never possessed, even though it was promised to them, we're going to read it in a moment, the land of Canaan, they've never possessed it. They came out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, and they didn't have the faith to go into the land of rest, the land of Canaan, because they saw giants in the land. So because of their lack of faith, their lack of courage, they wandered in the wilderness. And God told them, that generation, you're still mine, you're still Hebrews, you're still my children, but you're going to live your whole life and you're going to finish your life in the wilderness of sin instead of going into the land of Canaan. And that's where I don't want you to be. That's where God doesn't want me to be or you to be. And I want to help deliver you from the wilderness of sin here this morning. You say, well, how's that going to happen? How do I get out of the wilderness? Stand with me real quick. Let me read a couple of verses. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, I pray that you'd help me to be a Bible preacher and a Bible teacher. Help me never to muddy the waters up. God, I pray that my humor will never destroy or diminish in any way the working of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you'd help me just to say exactly what you want me to say this morning. I surrender. I'm yours. And God, I want to be your mouthpiece. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you're here and you're in that fuzzy world of, am I really born again? Am I really saved? I want you to know this. God wants you to know you're born again. It is a no-so salvation. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. So get that settled this morning. If you're not sure you're saved, when we get towards the end of the message, I want you to get born again. At that moment, I want you to call upon Christ and get saved and know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Man, it's important. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in this life. Make sure you're born again. And then there are those that are born again and just kind of living rebellious lives, or lives that are kind of halfway committed, and it's just a fuzzy kind of life. And that's a hard life. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. When you do come to church, you get convicted, and you should be coming here to get blessed. You know, that's a hard life. If you're the rebel in your heart and you're not willing to surrender, man, you get beat up in the world, then you come to church and you get beat up some more, and you kind of think you're like that Eeyore Christian, you know, the Winnie the Pooh, the donkey, the Eeyore, you know, the guy that carries the weight of the world on his shoulders and enjoys it. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would anybody want to be that way? Why don't you just trust God? That's what Joshua says and God says to the people of Israel. Be courageous and be strong. I will bless you with the land of Canaan. Verse 1 again says, now at the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God blesses servants. Joshua is already a servant of God. God uses busy people, people that are already surrendered. When God looked down from heaven and he was looking for the next leader of the Hebrew nation, he had already chosen Joshua because Joshua was already serving. I was thinking about that. You know, when I was coaching football, and you know the guy that, you know the guys that start, you know the guys that saw the field? The guys that showed me what they had in practice. They're already doing it on the practice field. I know they're ready for the game field. Put in the guy that showed me what he had in practice. That's just the way God is. God is looking for people that'll be faithful with all the little things that he puts on their plate. And if you'll just be faithful, God will, he'll put more on your plate. He'll enlarge that plate. You'll be able to handle it. He puts the guy, he takes the guy off the bench and puts him on the game field, the guy that is showing what he's already got on the practice field. That was Joshua. Here's Joshua. I'm not insinuating he was on the bench. He wasn't. He was already serving God. Put my glasses on right side up. That'll help. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, the promises of God. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You want to get out of the wilderness? Number one, recognize the promises of God. The promise of God is right here, written out, so Joshua and the people of God will be able to understand. The land of Canaan, I promised it to you. Take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy and chapter 5. Just one book before this. Deuteronomy and chapter 5. And verse 33. The promise of God. Israel is the covenant nation, the seed of Abraham. The land of Canaan is to be theirs. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Now you've heard me preach this theme before. The land of Canaan is the abundant life. That's the victorious Christian living on the victory side, experiencing victory after victory. There are battles. There are battles. But victory after victory and learning and growing in grace in the process. It's the Christian that's living in the sin of wilderness that really is doing nothing for God other than burying people and breathing air and taking up space. And once they're out of the way, God raises up somebody else. But listen to the promise of God to the nation Israel. Verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that ye may live and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Verse 3 of chapter 6. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He says, you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You love him with all of your heart. I will bring you into the land that flows with milk and honey. Recognize the promises of God. Here is the promise of God for the church of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here are the promises of God for the New Testament church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a promise of God, a mandate from God for world evangelism, and a promise of God that he will enable us every step of the way. Come out of the wilderness. recognize and know what the promises of God are recorded in Scripture and live them out. And by the way, you will not be able to obey the promises of God unless you know what they are. Let's go back to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. He says that three times in four verses. I think it's pretty important. And it's an important message for the church of Jesus Christ as well. Be strong in the things of God and of good courage. Courageous. The Christian life isn't for sissies. The Christian life, it takes a little bit of guts to serve God. Be strong and of good courage, or you'll die in the wilderness. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, obey the word of God. And again, brothers and sisters, you cannot obey the word of God unless you know the word of God. You can't think you know what the word of God says. You must study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we approach the Bible as history and biography, we approach it wrong. If we are reading the Bible as a historian to gain information, that is wrong. We must approach the Bible as men and women seeking God. Let that sink in. If we approach the Bible for history and biography, we really do. That's a wrong-headed approach. But if we approach the Bible as men and women seeking God, that's how your faith grows. Man, that's how you understand the Word of God. The city of Jericho, the giants that are in the land, crossing the River Jordan, we're going to talk about that next Sunday morning when it was at flood stage. You have got to be kidding. But God says, faith, strong, and courage. And faith and courage are found, or strength and courage are found in faith. That faith builds both. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here, let's put it in its context again. Here's 2.5 million people. They're Hebrews. They're told by God. They believe the promises. They've been told again, you believe me, you follow me. I'll not forsake you. Yeah, the land is promised to you. I'll prosper you. Every place your foot stands, every place your feet tread, that land will be your land. All you got to do is have and show just a little bit of faith. Believe the book. Let me say this. Turn to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. 138th Psalm. Verse 2. Grow your faith. Get some courage. That comes by way of the Word of God. I challenge you to do something more than you have always done. Don't just be run-of-the-mill this fall. Instead, get out of the boat. Do something more for God. Increase your faith. And here's a promise. I want you to know this. You can trust God. Look up here. Everybody look up here. Wasn't enough amens. I know you're looking at the passage. You can trust God. God. Amen. 138th Psalm, verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You say, the Bible says that God has magnified his word above his own name. You know why that is? We wouldn't know his name without the word of God. Right. The word of God is important. Believe the word of God. Trust the God of the Bible. I've said this a couple of Sunday mornings this summer. Baptist people have always been people of the book. We are the biblicists. We're not the only ones, but we are biblicists. That's a Baptist distinctive. We're known for that. We carry our Bibles to church. We study our Bible. It's on our living room table, or our coffee tables, or on our kitchen tables. We study the Word of God during the week. Baptist people, historically, have always been people of the book. Does that really describe us? Is that really who we are? We need to know the Word of God. That's the way we'll get victory. We'll not know the promises of God. We'll not recognize the promises of God unless we believe the book. Talking about getting out of the wilderness. Number one, recognize the promise of God. Number two, believe the book. That separates the religionists from the New Testament Christians. Believe the book. Number three, look at verse 10. Verse 10. Stay together. In verse 10, it says this, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. And the reason, and we don't have time to read this morning, the manna is going to stop. The meat, the water, it's going to stop. The provisions from heaven. Now it's time to go into the land of Canaan. So prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, and that'll be a miracle, to go to possess the land. Not just be in the land, possess the land, own the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Now, if you don't understand all that background, I don't have time to preach it, but 2.5 tribes, they went to Moses and said, listen, we don't want to cross over the River Jordan. We got a lot of cattle. We want to stay right here. This is not, and by the way, that was a mistake. And that'll be brought out later on if we get to it in another sermon. But Moses gave them the request. But here's the deal. Even though they weren't going to cross over the River Jordan, they were to arm their men and fight with their brethren. They were to go with, were to stay together in the church of Jesus Christ. That is so important. Divided, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We as human beings, we can find a lot of reasons to divide. But let's rally around this book. Let's be people of the book again. Let's be people that love the Word of God. Let's make Jesus Christ preeminent in our lives, just like the Word of God tells us to, instead of worshiping other little gods in all kinds of directions and diminishing the power of the Word of God. I'll say this. God is looking in these last days for a church that is serious. I want to be that church of the last harvest. I want to be part of that church. I want Fundamental Baptist Church to be known far and wide for its evangelism, for bringing sinners to Christ. I want it to be known far and wide for preaching the whole counsel of God. I want as many people as I can to get it together and grow in grace and be strong in the Lord and courageous and enter into the land of Canaan. And if we'll stay together, we'll be that mighty marching army. And go to chapter 2 in the book of Joshua. The Bible says, while you're getting there, all you got to do is just look across the page in all likelihood. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of quitters in all walks of life. I don't understand how a born-again Christian who now has a home in heaven would turn their back on the will of God for their lives. I do. It's flesh. I understand it. But why they would walk away from God, I have no idea why that is. And some of them, they went out from us, but they were not of us. John addressed that. They were just kind of a show on the outside, and they weren't truly born again. But as a people of God, we need to understand we're in the fourth quarter. Man, in the football days, it was always, who's going to win the fourth quarter? When the third quarter was ended and the fourth quarter started, when we were changing ends of the field, everybody put four fingers in the air. Four! And we'd all yell that so the other team would know it. Fourth quarter's ours, buddy. You maybe won a quarter or two, but the fourth quarter is ours, and we're leaving this game with the ball and the right score on the clock. And that's the way it needs to be for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're in the fourth quarter. Man, the game is almost over. The rapture of the church is going to take place. We need to prepare victuals. Just 3 days. That's what Joshua said. 3 days. And we're crossing over the River Jordan. It's game time, buddy. Arm yourself. Pick up your sword. We are going to war. And you 2.5 tribes, you're coming with us because that's what you agreed to with Moses. And they said, yes, sir, we're coming. We're ready to go. And they're going to cross over the River Jordan. But the battle didn't go exactly the way they thought it was going to go. It went even better. God was good to them. That's next Sunday morning. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Here's how you come out of the wilderness. Recognize the promises of God. Believe the book. Stay together. And make room for everybody that is willing to get born again. Amen. We read about Rahab in chapter 2. She makes the hall of faith. She is mentioned by name in Hebrews in chapter 11. A lot of saints of God aren't mentioned by name, but she's mentioned. And she was a prostitute. She was a harlot that recognized the Lord God Jehovah, the God of the Israelites, of the Hebrews. He is the very God. And she knew what was going to happen in Jericho. She was in the city of Jericho. Man, she had some discernment. And she said to the two spies that were sent by Joshua into the land, listen, I've heard. I know what happened. I understand. I know how they're encamped on this side of Jordan now, right? But I understand. I heard what happened. I know how the Red Sea parted, and I understand how the River Jordan parted. Man, I fear the Lord God Jehovah. I want to get born again. That's what she's saying. I want to get born again. And you know the story. I don't have time to go through the Sunday school story. They said she hid the spies, and that's what she said. Listen, I want to worship Jehovah God. They said that red cord. That red scarlet cord that we escaped by, if you'll hang it out the window, she was on the wall. If you'll hang it out the window, our men will be instructed not to take down that part of the city. You'll be safe, but you got to stay in your home. And all their kinfolk that want to be born again, they got to stay in that home. And that red scarlet cord, by the way, scarlet, a picture of the blood. Amen. That scarlet cord runs from the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation in the Bible. Amen. The saints, the spies, it's through the blood that we escape. It's through the blood that we that aren't born again sinners get saved. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that all are forgiven of sin that come to Christ. All we've got to do is come to him and ask. I told you the whole story without reading a single verse. Let me say this. That's in chapter 2. Maybe we'll hit it next week. Maybe not. I might go right to chapter 3. So read the book of Joshua on your own. Study the word of God. We've got a big fall in front of us. Right now, we have 16 brand new students at Maplewood, and there are more on the way. Amen. That's pretty exciting to me. It's exciting what's going on. We've got Friend Day. Got a new teacher coming. We got Friend Day, 800. I think it's September the 19th. Don't hold me to that date, but September the 19th, we're going to try to pack 800 people on these grounds and see a great soul harvest. I'm praying God that he would do great things. We've got our old school gathering. Let me put a little plug in for that. If you can sing, you need to be in the choir for the Northern Michigan Revival Choir. We want you to be part of it. And we've got choir practice this Saturday night. That's another thing altogether. We are going somewhere as a ministry. Ultimately, we're going to heaven. We know the trumpet is going to sound. I want to be in the saddle when the trumpet sounds. I want to be serving God when the trumpet sounds. I want to be found being faithful to God. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when Jesus sounds that trumpet and we go home. And I know a lot of people are going to get born again in these next several weeks. And we've been seeing it this summer, but a lot of people are going to get born again these next several weeks. Maybe some people are going to get saved here this morning. I'm excited about that. And I know that God has great things planned. But we got to get ready. We got to come out of the wilderness. By the way, I've got a brand new radio station that we're on. So I want to say hello, a shout out to everybody at 97.7 FM out of Sheboygan. Thank you for listening, and make sure you come back and listen every week. I'm excited about what God is doing, but we can't do it in the flesh. What a mistake that would be. God loves sinners. We know where we're going. Let's bring as many people with us as we can. He is not willing that any should perish. Right. Let me tell you how good God is. I'll close this message. I'll try to convey this. I won't be able to convey it, but I'll try to convey it. Paul said it several ways. He said we would never, the breadth, the height, the depth, we cannot even comprehend the love of God. I understand why a holy God loves righteousness. That makes sense to me. I do not understand why he chose to love me. That, my friend, is grace. That is mercy. That's the only way Tim Rader could go to heaven. That's the only way any sinner can go to heaven. Because let's not bring God, don't in your mind somehow theologically bring God down to man. Although he visited man, he did. Incarnate, God the Son, he did. And he went to the cross and he died in our place and he shed the blood, made blood atonement that we might have forgiveness of sins. He died in my place so that I could go to heaven. He took the price of my sin on his body so that I would have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to me and I could know that I'm born again. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. That's what the scripture says. I understand that, but he chose to come to this earth. He willed it within himself to love this wretched man that's standing in the pulpit. I didn't do anything to merit his love. I didn't do anything to gain or merit his grace and his mercy. And neither have you. And if today you'll call on Christ, he will save you today.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.